All right, it is time now for Happy Hour. And joining me for Happy Hour tonight is Alona Show producer Sam Knight and Anthony Randazzo, director of economic research for the Reason Foundation. Me and the fellas tonight. I like it.
You know it.
Just hanging
and you guys
out.
Get the pink drinks. I like it even more.
Sweet.
We would want nothing less.
We are very comfortable with ourselves.
I know. They're pretty good. I don't know if you tried them.
It's going to be a little difficult to shift from how intense that last segment was.
I know. I know. We can lay off
gonna,
the Department
gonna,
of yeah, Defense
we're just
now.
Just going to have to
Thankfully,
tone this down.
This will take the edge
and,
off.
And let's talk about evolution. We know that despite quite a bit of evidence supporting Charles Darwin's theory on evolution, that a whole lot of people, they don't like it. And the main reason they don't like it is because it often goes against what they read in the Bible. Well, this is interesting. Some Christian schools in Louisiana have decided a new approach to deal with this. These Christian schools are having their religious teachers teach the pupils about, wait for it, the Loch Ness Monster. If the Loch Ness Monster exists, after all, that must mean evolution isn't true. Take a look.
The stepbrother admits that in 1934, he and a group of men equip a toy submarine with the head and neck of a dinosaur, set it on the water, and photograph it. Then they convince a reputable surgeon, Dr. Robert Wilson, who happens to love practical jokes, to submit the photo to a local newspaper.
All right, so that was a History Channel documentary.
No, that was liberal propaganda. No, I'm sorry.
That was a History Channel documentary showing.
You can't use the History Channel, which is not necessarily known for to discredit Christian fundamentalists. I'm sure they can find ways around that.
So you think that the Loch Ness Monster, perhaps? I mean, the other thing that we didn't mention here is a lot of these kids attending these private schools in Louisiana are actually getting public vouchers to do so. But go on. I mean, make your case. Convince me that the Loch Ness Monster exists.
No, I don't think we're trying to do that. I just think we're trying to say that if you're trying to prove that the Loch Ness Monster doesn't exist, you might want to avoid the History Channel, because as you know, Senator Charles Grassley brings up time and time again, the History Channel, they kind of avoid history a lot of times.
Well, I think this is kind of missing the point. The Christian fundamentalists, they're stretching too far. It'd be much easier to prove evolution if you just point to like Charles Barkley or Kim Kardashian as the missing link. I mean, trying to go all the way to Loch Ness Monster, I think we can find other ways to disprove evolution.
So you're saying they could just say, you think survival of the fittest really fits?
I think one thing to point out here, though, is that this is going to happen with education anywhere. I mean, we just heard the story of the teacher saying that you're going to go to jail if you critique Obama to a student. We just happen to get that on camera. How many crazy things are taught in schools all across America? This is not necessarily sort of a unique incident by
so
any means.
As the country is becoming more polarized, it's even seeping into schools. I think this has always happened.
I think there's always been crazy things that have been taught in school. I mean, clearly us Earth flat believers here, it's nice that you have some people telling us that, the minority telling the majority that we're really the crazy people. I think this has been a problem throughout all of history.
I mean, it's a pretty systemic problem, especially with the Christian fundamentalists. I mean, going back to the Scopes monkey trial in the 20s. And,
that's right.
You know, this sort of thing happens all the time. It's.
Let's move on real quick to the economy. We like to talk about that. It's interesting because there's a new Gallup poll out that shows that within the terrible economy, most people actually think that their own local economies, their cities and towns that they live, even their states, and the schools and their districts are fine or are at least okay, that the problem is always out there, that the problem is in the national economy. I think we have a chart to show this. There was the Gallup poll done. You see the high part of those lines. People are saying, and this is Democrats, Republicans, and Independents who say, in my own backyard, things are good. The problem gets worse when you go nationwide, when you go to Europe, when you go to the world. What do you guys think about this?
So they didn't pull people in Detroit then, obviously, is my first thought.
Or Las Vegas, yeah. Or Orlando,
Florida,
or most places in California.
Ohio.
Right. No, it's actually not completely unsurprising. I think, but at least for Americans, generally tend to be optimistic people. I think this has kind of actually been, there's been some surveys to show that America generally typically are optimistic people, and we tend to look at things that we can't control and say that's kind of what's out of control. I mean, the reality is that the U.S. economy is terrible, so they're not wrong. I mean, we're almost in a recession. We're sort of like bumping along, and if you go to local economies, people may perceive things as not terrible. I would question some of whether or not the data is like looking at a lot of inner cities, where this is.
Well, that's what I just thought of. If you're at home to answer the phone to take this survey, that probably means that you have a home and a phone line.
The methodology may be off, but I do think that it may go back to just a measure of optimism. You may actually just have a different metric for what terrible is in like your local city versus the country.
Well, what's interesting about this as well is in October 2011, there was a Gallup poll where people were sort of asked how they felt about the federal government versus their local government. And people had a lot more confidence in their local and state governments than they did in the executive, especially the legislative branch.
Hey, you know what? I like the line of thinking that people are overall positive. I think I'm overall positive, so that's a good thing. Okay, so we've covered education, we've covered the economy. Let's go to sports now.
Awesome. Finally, a light topic.
Let's talk about Anthony Davis. He is the likely number one overall draft pick for the 2012 NBA draft. I think that's being held this week, if I'm not mistaken. In a couple days from now. I have a lot of friends who like have parties and all that for it. I will not be attending any. Anyways, he filed a trademark, Anthony Davis, related to his physical feature that has been getting the most attention. I'm talking, of course, about his unibrow. Take a look.
Davis has trademarked his famous unibrow. According to CNBC, the presumptive top pick laid claim to the phrases fear the brow and raise the brow earlier this month. I don't want anyone to try to grow a unibrow because of me and then try to make money off of it.
My favorite part is how she calls it a unibrow. What do you guys think about that?
Why would anyone? I mean, clearly, you know, as a soon to be world famous athlete, he doesn't have to worry about attracting women by his looks. So, I mean, personally, if I let this forest go, if I didn't shave up here, you know, I would get the Davis look going too.
Now, the fear of the brow thing was the worst thing to happen to the NCAA tournament, and quite possibly could be the worst thing to happen to the NBA. It's just, it's awful. It's absolutely, there's a reason why my mother, when I was younger, you know, forced me to make sure that this didn't grow together. And it's because she wanted me to be presentable for people to look up to me. I don't think there are people that are going to be growing unibrows to try to make money off it. I don't think he necessarily needs to trademark this. It's probably sort of an overreach a little bit.
I don't know. I mean, I really like the idea of players branding themselves. I know as a baseball player, we had a player on the Padres run from Wally Joyner. He was bald, and people started getting, I don't know if he trademarked being bald, but people wore bald masks or bald caps to the games. It was a sign of solidarity. You know, stick with your players and let's have some team unity. So maybe, I mean, it will be very interesting to see what people in the stands
The people of New Orleans who were probably going to draft him are all just going to grow out their unibrows for Mardi Gras. That's what we're going to see happen. That sounds terrible. That's completely against the spirit of Mardi Gras.
If Davis is anything like the last number one pick from Kentucky, he shouldn't have to worry about becoming too famous. You know, prove me wrong, John Wall. Prove me wrong. But
please, we need a team in Washington. Please, John
Wall.
Yeah,
I guess after rethinking it, I was thinking maybe people would get like stick-on ones, but if you think the fellas are going to like grow them out,
do you want this?
This is a very bad thing. You've convinced me totally. All right, let's go to social media now and talk about Facebook. Facebook is being very shady once again. They've recently been changing Facebook users' default email address to at facebook.com. So if you have a Gmail or a Hotmail, instead of that showing up, it shows at facebook.com. What do you guys think about this?
Well, I didn't even know about this until, I sort of checked to see what stories we were going to do tonight on Happy Hour. And I was pretty shocked. I was pretty outraged.
Were you really, though?
So now we're outraged that Facebook is creating more privacy for us? Isn't the opposite? You go to try to find someone's, because I was actually trying to find a friend's email address that I didn't have on my phone, and I couldn't get to my home computer to actually look it up, so I went to Facebook to try and pull it up, and all of a sudden I saw that it was listed at Facebook. This was this weekend, and I think it was right after the switch, and I was like, that's weird, and I went and I looked at mine, and it had changed. Yeah, but at the very least, it wasn't a change to, reveal more information.
True.
At least
that's
they didn't make
true.
People's email address. The real email addresses out there.
No, that's true. But I mean, I for one, I put my actual email on display on Facebook, and I keep my privacy settings so that
random certain people.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Not random people can just sort of creep on me or whatever.
Since a lot of them are.
After you've been on this show,
I could tell you stories that would shock you.
Let's move on because we're almost out of time. We got to talk about somebody. She's back. talking about Sarah Palin, and since we were just talking about Facebook, she put something up on her Facebook page. We're expecting, of course, the health care ruling on Thursday. So she wanted to remind everybody of what she said about health care back when it was a big issue, what she said about the death panels. Let me put it up. She said, the America I know and love is not one in which my parents or my baby with Down syndrome will have to stand in front of Obama's, quote, death panel so his bureaucrats can decide based on a subjective judgment of their level of productivity in society, whether they are worthy of health care. Such a system is downright evil. Now, last I checked, when this was all going on, her death panel theories were pretty much disproven time and time again. But what do you guys think?
I mean, they're obviously, you know, the Supreme Court is hashing out whether or not the individual mandate and other issues are constitutional. I don't think there's any talk about death panels.
5 seconds, Anthony, we're done.
I think there's absolutely death panels, and we should all be terrified.
All right.
Yeah,
Anthony,
death panels.
Anthony Randazzo and Sam Knight, always good to have both of you guys on the show. That's going to do it, though, for us. Thanks so much for tuning in.